Let's open with hymn number 57.
Yeah.
read responsively Psalm 143, found on page 155. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications.
In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness.
And enter not into judgment with thy servant.
For in thy sight shall no man living be justified.
For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground.
He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead.
Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me.
My heart within me is desolate.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works.
I muse on the work of thy hands.
I stretch forth my hands unto thee.
My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land.
Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth.
Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit.
Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust.
Cause me to walk a way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee.
Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies.
I flee unto thee to hide me.
Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God.
Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness.
Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake.
For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble.
And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies.
And destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first lesson this evening is found in the first chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 25th verse. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to them, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel appeared unto him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and to bring these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." Here ends our first lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Praise be to thee,
Lord. Our second lesson is found in the first chapter of John, the 1st through the 14th verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here ends our second lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
We sing hymn number 61. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is Psalm 70. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to dust and say, Return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. They are like grass which grows up in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet are nearly all of them only labor and sorrow. For they are soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, and in the fear of you, your wrath? So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, let us be glad that our Lord has brought us to the time of the year when once again we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to us twice in this season. First, he takes upon himself our flesh and blood and becomes a man so that he might bear all temptations and afflictions in his flesh and, overcoming them all, suffer and die for the forgiveness of our sins. And second, he comes in glory to judge the living and the dead, to cast death and hell into the lake of fire along with Satan and all his angels and all the children of men who do not repent of their sins nor look to God's Son for their redemption. And he comes to gather all the saints of every age together with their bodies into a new heaven and a new earth wherein only righteousness dwells, and where God in all of his glory showers his endless blessings upon his dear children, who ended their lives in this world of sin wearing the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. The purple pyramids which adorn the altar speak to the fact that Advent is a season of repentance. For we would not be found at the coming of Christ wearing our own putrid works, but the righteousness of Jesus, his beauty and holiness. Therefore, in Advent, sorrow and joy join hands. Our psalm especially captures that dual nature of Advent, the time when we repent in sadness but rejoice in gladness. This wonderful psalm is written by Moses. It is the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms. And that should tell us that repentance, forgiveness, and the coming of Christ are not the inventions of a generation of Jews seeking the political overthrow of their captors in Babylon and Rome, as the scoffers of our age like to tell us. Moses speaks just as plainly of Christ in this psalm, as God spoke in the garden when he promised a Savior, and just as plainly as John, Peter, and Paul speak in the New Testament, bidding us to repentance and faith as we look for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The writers of Scripture all speak with one voice. For it is not the voice of men, but of God's voice, given through men by His Holy Spirit. Indeed, so proclaims our psalm, that our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. Indeed, our God is from everlasting to everlasting, and so is our Lord, His Son, Jesus Christ. John begins his gospel with these words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Lord God of whom Moses writes. It was through Him, the Son, that all things were made. Before the mountains, the earth, or even the universe were brought forth, there was the Son of God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And in a wink of eternity, the world is made and generations pass. Man rises up from the dust and God returns him back to the dust from whence he came. Our life rushes past like the dreamless hours in the night, like that rushing moment, like grass that rises up in the morning and is cut down and withers before the day is ended, and yet our God continues on. This is what it has come to with us men. God made man perfect, able to live forever. But look at what sin brought upon us. We are frail and weak, and all the good in which we boast is nothing. Our days are 70 or 80 years. God sees us as we are. He knows our hidden thoughts. Every sin is laid bare to His piercing eyes. Beginning with Adam, down through the generations, God lays our iniquities before Himself and before us. We can hide nothing from Him. In every generation, He sent out His prophets, some bringing new words from the mouth of God and others declaring what God had already written in the Scriptures. In this way, even after all prophecies have ceased, God continues to declare His anger and wrath against our sin in a most furious manner. If we hear Him, if we take His words seriously, we truly do wither like the grass under His anger. The psalm describes our days on this earth as days of wrath. We have maybe 70 or perhaps 80 years on this earth, but for most of our time here, the bulk of our days, the psalm says, we know labor and sorrow. Every trouble which happens on this earth happens with God's permission. For the heathen, the dreadful labors and sorrows which we know are God's punishments, warning them to repent and turn from their wickedness lest they perish in their sins. But the Christian also knows such wrath, for we are chastised by God so that we do not forget our sins or think that we have no further need for repentance. And so it is not the heathen who speak the words of this psalm. It is us, the saints. The world foolishly treats all these judgments which fall upon them like random chance or the consequences of global warming or other such mundane things, but fails to see that God has brought all these punishments upon them. We are just as likely as the heathen to think of the troubles of this life as just so much bad luck. Therefore, we need to be taught by God to count our days in this world, to remember that we breathe each breath because God gives it to us, and we endure each trial because God allows it. In this way, He makes us wise. For God does not lay our sins before us only to abandon us. He does not proclaim His wrath against our sin only to kill us forever. He does not teach us to count our days, but so that He might abandon us to hell. He does these things so that we might examine ourselves, confess our sins unto Him, and wait upon His salvation. We count the days knowing that the day of our salvation is drawing near. For instead of terror, God has promised us mercy and compassion for all who look for his redemption. Here the prophet Moses longs for the salvation which God has promised to him. He looks forward to the day when God will not only send relief, as he did when he delivered Israel from the hand of Egypt. He looks for the time when God himself will appear. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. For all the trouble, for all the labors, for every day of sorrow which we live here upon the earth, God will replace them with days of gladness. For when he comes to redeem his people, he does not do the job halfway. Paul declares that where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that sin, as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in the redemption which God promises through Christ, he completely covers all your sins. For every chastisement that we bear now, there are endless days of joy in store for those who look for his coming. Moses continues, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. And even so, Paul declares, echoing these words of Moses, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so, with such words, Moses and Paul awaited the coming of Christ. He confessed that God would reveal to the world the work by which he would redeem men from sin. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Who was there watching the hand of God when he fashioned the world? Who was there in eternity when he set forth the plan to have his own son become the lamb slain from the foundation of the world? No one. And yet God so arranged it that we would see the work of his hands when he accomplished his purpose. And so we did. That work was revealed in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And we look back to the glorious salvation which Jesus has accomplished. We look back with the eyes of actual men who saw with their own eyes these things come to pass. And at the same time, we look forward to the day of Christ's return, when once more we will see with our own eyes, even though we be dust in the ground, the work of God's own hand. When even the works then that we do will be completely untainted and free from sin. For he will transform our vile bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And thus, with his work of creation finally complete, he will look upon the work of our hands. And as he did when he looked upon the world that he had created at the beginning, he will say at the end, it is very good. And so our song closes, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. May we eagerly await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might indeed finish that work which he has begun in us by faith, and cause his beauty to rest upon us and upon all that we do in the world to come. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn number 71.
Thank you. Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense.
Let thy prayer be as fitting sacrifice.
We sing the Magnificat.
My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior.
Mercifully hear, O Lord, the prayers of thy people, that as they rejoice in the advent of thine only begotten Son according to the flesh, so when he cometh a second time in his majesty, they may receive the reward of eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest in quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord.
Praise to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.